It's become a tradition of ours to, on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, to spend some time just focusing on what we're grateful for, and we're going to do that in a couple of ways today. Happiness is a topic that has traditionally been talked about and addressed by churchy kinds of people, you know, people like ministers and those kinds of people. I remember one of the things growing up, one of the ideas about happiness that was ingrained in me growing up in a churchy environment was that happiness tended to be talked about in sort of like it was not necessarily negative, but kind of shallow. And also attached to circumstances. I would hear things like, happiness, it has to do with what's going on in your life, but joy. Now, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's something that comes from God. Almost like joy is good, and happiness is, it's just shallow. Any of you ever hear anything like that? Yeah, a few of us. I think that fits really well in a book I'm thinking about writing called Things Unhappy Church People Say. But you know, us churchy people can get things wrong sometimes. I believe, you know, if you talk to people, we all want to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, God is a God of joy. Yes, joy, peace, love, all the fruits of the Spirit. But God is a happy God. God rejoices, and God wants us to be happy people, and there's nothing shallow about that. But in recent years, something really interesting has happened, and that is scientists have started paying attention to happiness. And I heard last year that at that time there were at least 26 scientific research projects going on focused on happiness, and that kind of study is exploding all across the scientific world, and there are more studies published every year on things like happiness and gratitude and mindfulness and what makes a meaningful life. And one of the most important findings of the scientists is that that's emerged has to do with the connection between happiness and gratitude. And one of the questions that they've explored is, who is grateful? And you might think that happy people are grateful. You know, people whose lives are going well, things are going like they would want them to go, those would be the grateful people. But research that's coming in says, actually, it's the opposite. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. And that is a choice. It's something within our control. Cultivating thankfulness and gratitude is now a scientifically backed way to be happy. But it's something here. And, you know, this is the crucial point. It's firmly within your control to choose to be more grateful. It's not something that is dependent on the circumstances in which you find yourself. It's something you can choose. But something we have to understand, though, is we're working against our brains here. We talk about this a lot. A lot of the things that are good for us to do, we're working against our brains. And what I mean by this, let me get this guy's name. Rick Hansen is a neuropsychologist, and he wrote some things, and he says, our brains are wired to scan for what's bad. There's just something about us humans that we tend to do this, and I don't know why, but you can see it in what we post on Facebook. We're just out there scanning for what's bad. And we tend to focus in on it. And not just what you post, but what you read. You know, oh, that looks too good. Okay, keep going. Scroll, scroll, scroll. There's something bad. That's what I'm gonna focus on. And we just do that. Why do we do that to ourselves? You know, good question. The truth is, we are, the good news is we can counter what scientists call a negativity bias. We can counter that but it takes intentionality. But we can choose to focus on the positive. We can choose to focus on, as our brain, maybe it's wanting to scan and look for what's bad, we can choose to look and find what's good. Even the little things. Grateful people tend to be people who appreciate simple pleasures. This is talked about in a report from the Journal of Social Behavior and Personality. And simple pleasures are pleasures in life that are available to most people. Things that go on all around us in most of our lives, some people seem to notice them, and other people don't seem to notice them. But they're there with most everybody, and we can choose to focus on those things. And so there's this power that we have when we choose to be grateful. There's a power. It literally changes our lives and how we experience the world. But it also can change other people as well. And there's a study I was reading about this week done at the University of Zurich and Nottingham. And these researchers were economists. And the thing that they were specifically focused on was productivity in the workplace. But what they were exploring really shed some light on how we experience life, and it had to do with whether people found satisfaction in their work or not. And they were specifically looking for how satisfaction impacted productivity. But here's what they found. If somebody is in a job and they're getting paid $50, but everybody else around them is getting paid $40, they're happy. But these same people, if they're making more money, if they're making $60, but everybody around them is making $70, they're not happy. So I don't know how you can get at finding how much the people around you are making, but that seems to be the key. Here's the application I want to make. What happens if somebody feels like I'm being appreciated and I'm being rewarded for what I bring to the table? They found satisfaction in their work. But when they found out that they were making less than everybody else, they stopped feeling appreciated and they stopped feeling respected. And in this study, what they looked at is their productivity went down. So let's take salary off the table. We don't have any cards to fill out for you to tell what you make and, you know, that kind of thing. But here's the cool thing. The truth about us humans is that when we feel appreciated and respected, we're happy. And so not only do we have the power to choose to look for even the little things around us that we have to celebrate and be thankful for and give thanks to God and give thanks to other people, but when we take time to thank other people and make them feel appreciated and make them feel respected, it makes them happy. So we have the power to make our lives better, and we have the power to make other people's lives better by choosing to focus on what we have to be thankful for. You know, certainly we churchy people can get it wrong, and we can have, you know, wrong thinking and that kind of thing, but the truth is we churchy people can get it right a lot of times too. And we have some really powerful truth in Scripture that I believe we as humanity are just are coming to full to more fully appreciate, and that is the power of being thankful. You know, the Bible is full of scriptures that talk about our need to be thankful. And we have people like Paul who says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And then we understand that he was writing that from prison. And he's saying that no matter what your circumstances are, you can choose to rejoice. You can choose to be thankful. A verse that I want us to take with us today, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's pretty powerful. What's God's will for us? Well, one thing we can say for sure that's God's will for us is that we take time to think about what we have to be thankful for, not just this week, but always in all circumstances. On the chairs around you, there are some cards that say thank you. And what we want to encourage you to do, we're going to do a song called Thank You, Lord, in just a little bit. And as we do that song, we're going to give you some time to write a note. It could be a note to God. It could be a note to another person. Which we want you to take some time to think about what you have to be thankful for and someone that you have to say thank you to so that we can all get involved in that. And if you don't have a card near you, raise your hand and we can get one to you.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. My name is Don Hartford. Just by great coincidence, last week was our four-year anniversary at Cornerstone Church. It's a very, very, very happy 4 years. But during those 4 years, I've had the privilege of watching people come up, you know, brothers and sisters come up on the stage and pour their hearts out. They tell personal things about their life, things that hurt. And it's not to let them vent. It's not to kind of give them self-therapy. I have always interpreted it as a way for them to tell people you're not alone. When things happen in your life, it's not the first time. There are other people sitting around you, people you love and don't know it's happening to. So really I wanted to start off, this is off the script, but to say thank you for everybody that's came up here and poured their heart out and made everybody feel welcome and feel less alone. I consider myself a really a blessed man. I have great friends, I have a very loving family and good health. But Josh posed a question to us. He said, try to answer the question, what has God done in your life this year that you are grateful for? There's really only one incident that was so powerful, I had no choice but to choose it. And it's very emotional, so it's going to happen. I cry even practicing, so. God truly spoke directly to me through an angel. There's nothing anybody that can tell me that would make me not believe it. My mother has lost 4 people in her family this year, 2 sisters and 2 brothers. It's more than anybody should have to endure. It's a 17-month period is actually what it was. One of the nights she lost her sister, she called me around 10 o'clock. Ginger was traveling, and I went into the bathroom so nobody could hear, and I was talking to my mom, and she was telling me, and you have to know something about my sons. They're very hard to put to sleep. But when they get there, they're impossible to wake up. They just don't wake up in the middle of the night. So I'm talking to my mom. I'm trying to comfort her with no luck at all. You can just hear and feel her breaking down over the phone. Out of nowhere. And I'm so glad our kids are sitting here today. Out of nowhere, my son walks in. Garen walks in the bathroom. Wakes up at 10 o'clock at night. Never happened before. Very loving look, and he says, what's the matter, Dad? And I don't know why I did it, because anything could have came out of his mouth. I mean, really, it's a risk. I put myself on speakerphone,
And I told him, with my mom on the other end, I said, you know, Grandma Pat's sister passed away today. And he didn't say a word, cuddled up next to me, looked me right in the eye and said, "It's okay, Grandma. She's with Jesus now. She'll be okay." You could feel my mom. I mean, it went from tears to tears mixed with that great happy laughter that doesn't come when you're in a conversation about your sister dying. She still says to this day, I'm sorry. Let me step back. I'm convinced to this day that a 6-year-old messenger from our Lord, he changed everything. She still says to this day that changed her, not only gave her strength for that one, but the 2 more passings that happened shortly behind that she says she doesn't have the strength for. But she remembers it. She's from a family of 10, you know, sadly 6 now. But she said that she repeated that story to her sisters, and everybody drew strength from it. Sorry, if I don't write this down, I'm gonna lose my. But what she tells me is, even to this day, that he came in with a perfect voice, said the perfect thing in the perfect tone, and light in the spirits. But I sat in the bed that night, and I prayed a lot. I couldn't sleep. I just kept thinking about, sadly, not my mother anymore, but that situation that I couldn't get out of my mind, because I knew my mom was going to be okay. I knew my Aunt Sandy was in a better place. I couldn't get out of my mind how he walked in that bathroom. It just doesn't happen. That night, I prayed, and I prayed a lot, and I thanked the Lord. I thanked him for Kathy, Jack. I thanked him for Sue, the Pierce family, Andy, Mr. Bob, that's what Gary called, Mr. Bob, Miss Leslie. I prayed for all the wonderful people that have touched my son's life and turned him into just the joyous soul that he's become, and I'm thankful. Of course, I included David, but in reality, I thank him all the time. I thank him all the time. David has created a culture in Cornerstone that brings out the best in our teachers, who in turn brings out the best in our children. And he's in my prayers nonstop. This church has been absolutely unbelievable to us. But ultimately, I thanked our Lord. Our Lord is the one who woke up that 6-year-old angel and put the perfect words in his heart to give my mother strength. So I thanked him. Thank you for letting me speak. Thank you.
I'll probably be the shortest one today. All right. Well, most of you probably don't know me. I'm Kim Bloom, and my husband Austin and I have only been here for about 2 months. And when they asked us what we were grateful for this year, the only word I could think of was trials. And every trial that we've been through this past year honestly has led us to this church. We moved here about a year ago, and we left everything behind. Our church, ministry, families, just all of our friends, and moved here for my husband's job. And everything this year has just felt really, really hard. And finding a church was hard, and making friends was hard, and it was just very uncomfortable and hard. And about, 2 months ago, God led me to a verse. It's 1 Peter 5:10, and it says, "Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little." And I remember finding that verse thinking, God, that's what I want. Like, everything that we sacrifice to do what you've called us to do, we want it back. You know, we need friends. We need a church. And through those trials of trying to find the right church for us, it led us to Cornerstone. And we were so thankful for that, because through Cornerstone, you know, in our trial of not having any support system here, we've actually found the friends that have probably become closer to us than family, and they know who they are back there. So, and then we spent about 8 months when we moved here in a church that valued your service so far above loving people. And I hate to even say that when we came here, it was so unusual for us to be loved so much first that all we want to do is serve now. And that's been awesome. And, you know, just getting opportunities in really weird behind-the-scenes ways of getting to just do things that have just really meant a lot to us. And just in a time of feeling completely alone and completely isolated from just really anyone, God has really brought us so close to Him that now we hear His voice very clearly. And we were so thankful when He started whispering the word cornerstone to us, because we didn't know what that meant. And come to find out, it was like 5 minutes away. And so we're just really thankful to be here. And so, you know, through this last year of just feeling like the weight of the world was, I mean, crashing down, and getting to see the fruits of just sticking through it and not giving up and not, you know, not wanting to pack our bags and go back home. And everything, I mean, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, obviously, but the things that we felt like we were missing in our life have all definitely, you know, they're starting to come back, and we kind of, we finally feel like we have our feet on the ground for the first time in a year, and it's completely because of this place. So we just thank you guys for that, and just for the love you've shown us and our kids since we've been here, and that's what we're grateful for this year. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Jordan Jones, and I'm part of the Athens Life Group, and yeah. Something that always bothered me about the holidays was that I have too many families to visit, and like there's Mathis's, I've been splitting the day or Thanksgiving with them, and then my sister and her dad, and just their family. And Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to my aunt's house, and there's just so many things going on, and that used to bother me so much. Like, I used to hate the holidays. Like, one, I'm not necessarily with my family all the time. I usually spend, like, my biological family, I usually spend it with Ms. Sue and Mr. David. But something I'm grateful for this year, and I guess really since I began my college, is my aunt and just how much she's really been there like my whole life, but especially in college. Yeah, so just applying for colleges, Nisu and Mr. David had Alex and Austin to like worry about, and mostly Alex. No, I didn't mean it like that, but okay. Yeah, it always happens. but since Alex and I were graduating in the same year, it kind of helped that my aunt came in a lot, and I applied to like 8 colleges, and she paid for so many of them, all the applications, and just showed her support through that, and I didn't notice that she was like weaseling her way into my life, like emotionally and personally, and I've just seen how much I've been loved by my blood through her, because it took a lot for me to like move in with Mathis's, which I did in high school, if none of you knew that. It just took a lot to feel like, when I read the verse in the Bible that like Jesus says, like, I'm gonna divide like man from like whatever he says, his brothers and his family, and like I came to like, you know, like divide people. I always read that as like as something that like was happening to me, and I never thought my family as like something that was gonna last after like coming to faith, which doesn't really make sense now, but I've just seen how much my aunt cares for me. She basically coaches me through life and shows me how to love people and how to be responsible and how to like be disciplined and how to carry myself when no one could like think of me as important or like loved, but she always makes sure that I'm loved. And it's amazing to look back on like my past and everything that's happened to me, and know that she's always there, and to know that she's always cared about me and always like provided money or like love or food or just a phone call or really anything that I needed. And yeah, that's something I'm really grateful for. And I don't know if anyone has the same situation as me where you like feel divided, but just know that there are people that always love you and always care about you. And I did not understand that until, I guess, this past year when I noticed that, like, every day I wanted to wake up and call my aunt, and just because she was always there and she's always caring and stuff like that. So, thanks.
Hello. I'm really grateful there's no music up here. Last few thank yous, there's this solemn music, and you just, you know, you want to cry every time you get up here. And so I was like, I hope they don't play that music, because I just don't want to cry again. So thanks for no music. I live a grateful life. I really do. Every day I wake up, I'm grateful. I have been through just so much in my life, and so I wake up just grateful to God. I think life is a gift, and so I just wake up with gratitude because of the way God has blessed me. But Josh said, you know, 2015, what are you grateful for? And I had to narrow it down to 2015. It really wasn't too hard because I just feel so grateful for so many things. I thought about the difference between gratitude and thankfulness. So I looked up in the dictionary, and gratitude is what you feel, and thankfulness is what you do. And so you can say, I'm really grateful, but then you need to express it. That's the birth is gratitude, and then the thankfulness is what you do to show that you're grateful. So I really like that, because I said, you know, it's really important to show people that you're grateful by saying thank you. You know, thank you for this, thank you for that, and thank you for doing this. And I like to send out cards to people. I love giving gifts to people. I like showing people how grateful I am for them, because I really, really am grateful for so many people. I'm really grateful for this year, 2015. I'm supposed to narrow in on that. And what I thought about that, I sat there last night and this morning with my coffee and said, what is it in 2015 that I'm really grateful for? And I thought about how God has opened my eyes in 2015. Let's see, Mark 8:25, Jesus opens the eyes of this blind man, and what he does is he spits on him and he opens his eyes, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see people, and they're walking like trees. And so Jesus spit on his eyes again and said, now what do you see? And then it says he saw everything clearly. And that, to me, is what was it like for me. And I think that Jesus spit on my eyes again in 2015 and said, now what do you see? And my eyes were open, and I saw so many amazing things in 2015. And I felt so grateful, and I just think that maybe some of our eyes need to be spit on again. And we need to allow Jesus to open our eyes again to see some things that are clear, to see clearly what we're supposed to see on this great journey of life and this great gift. And so I thought about some of the things in 2015 that I felt grateful for, the way that Jesus had opened my eyes. I'm an artist, and 2015 I started painting, and every time I went into an emotional struggle or something happened, I painted. That's what I did. And my eyes were open in my paintings, and I thought this was really cool. Salvador Dali said, a true artist is not one who is inspired, but one who inspires others. And that's the kind of painting that I wanted to paint, was I wanted to inspire others by my gift. And so I threw my gift out there in my artwork, and I got a lot of really positive responses, but it wasn't, for me, it was that my artwork inspired others. And I, every time I did that, I was like, yes, and I felt more of a connection to God because he's the creator, and there I was creating, and my eyes were open. It was awesome. David's sermons, wow, what eye-opener are those sermons have been. You know, we were drinking milk, and when David came along, we started eating meat spiritually. And I love that. My eyes, again, were opened to what Jesus really has for us in the scriptures and the word and in our lives, how he wants us to have abundant life. And that's what was so awesome to me about the scriptures. Books. If you know me, I read lots of books. Sometimes I read three books at one time. And I'm just a learner. I just want to soak up. I want my eyes to be open continually of the journey that God has given me. The other thing my eyes were open about was that people are mirrors. And that sometimes when people get on your nerves, it's a mirror to you. It shows you something about yourself. And so I started looking around and saying, this person irritated me. Why? And I realized that it was myself. There was something about it that triggered me. And my eyes were open to myself. And wow, you know. So think about that. People are mirrors. The other thing, nature and trees. And I love nature and trees. God has opened my eyes to that. In the morning, sometimes I'm stressful when I'm driving to work. You know how that is. Traffic, Atlanta traffic. And I see birds flying over the highway. And I take that and say, God is telling me to chill out. Just to soar. Just let it go. And so I do. And I find comfort in that. My eyes are open to nature around me, how God speaks to us through nature and through trees and through the beauty of life. How awesome. And then relationships, Cornerstone. I love Cornerstone. My relationship with Celeste and Laurel, these women have been through me through thick and thin, ups and downs, high and lows, and I am so grateful. My eyes are continually open to those relationships and how much they mean to me. I'm almost done. The Bible, wow, the Word of God. Every time I read it, I try to live in it, and Jesus, you know, Peter is walking on water. I felt like, you know, my life was being pushed into the ocean this year, and I was sinking, and I raised my hand and said, Jesus, help me, and he did. And I've gone through a major struggle this year, but here I am. And through that, God has opened my eyes. Two more. Work. I've been at my company, IHG, for 24 years. Woo! I'm going to stand here and say this. I am an advanced analytics consultant. That's really smart, right? I do not have a PhD. I do not have a master's. But everybody I work with does. Now, how do I get to be a part of that? I don't even have a statistics degree or a math degree. It's all because of God. And I'm in with these like really smart people pretending like I'm really smart. And it's amazing because, hey, I fooled all of them, but I'm still there. 23 years by the power of God. And that's just amazing to me. And I'm so grateful for that. Let's see. Oh, finally, the journey. You know, we're on this amazing journey that we're just need to be so grateful for. And if you think about it, when you're thankful, more things happen to you that are awesome. Like if you have a child, I have two children, and when I give one of them something, they say, thanks, Mom, this is great, and they wear it, and it's awesome. Then I'm like, wow, I just want to give them something else. If I have my other child, and she's like, I don't like this, it's too this and this, then I'm like, wow, it's really going to be hard for me to give you something else. I mean, and we know that, right? And so God is like that with us. And we're so grateful and thankful for life, and this great things happen to us. But so many of us just are complaining, then how do you expect God to just do amazing things in your life when all you do is complain? I'm just saying. And I just want to end up by saying, you know, life is a gift. Every day that you wake up, it's a gift, no matter, even if it's hard, and you will have hard times. But if you open your eyes, you will see the presence of God clearly in your life. And there's so much to be grateful for.
Good morning, church. I'm Paul Kirsting. I was trying to think about something I can say that makes me different than everyone else. I'm going to be 62 this week, so I'm older. But anyway, I was actually met and invited to the church probably almost 30 years ago, probably 29 now. John Schmidt and I worked together. And what I'm grateful for is that God this year has allowed me to see with my heart. I'm smart enough to figure out a lot of the scriptures and did that with my mind. But as I've said to you once before, or maybe twice, I really kind of did it my own way when I did it intellectually. And what I cleaned up didn't really get cleaned up because it never involved my heart. And that, again, made me kind of spend some time in the desert thinking that maybe I hadn't figured it out, which was good. God still was persistent with me, and I'm not going to quit. So, again, another thing about being older and 20 or 9 or 30 years here with you is that I will figure it out with God's help. So one scripture that I found that relates to what I'm trying to describe is in Ephesians, Paul wrote, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those of us that believe. So this gift that I want to talk about today just briefly is that, again, intellectually my eyes were opened when I saw the scriptures. I knew what my sins were, but my heart wasn't yet understanding the gift that God had for me, the grace and the mercy, the gift of Jesus. And it's taken me a long time to figure that out, which, again, I'm glad that I did not give up on that, and glad for all of you that are here. It took different people here to help me with that. I think one of the things that I'm grateful for is, again, that the life groups, especially Jim Hanna leading our group, we've got a group of kind of older, long in the tooth. The men are long in the tooth, the women are not. But we're too old now to fake it, and it's good to have people that, again, are your friends. They know that if you're talking kind of churchy stuff, they'll stop you. And I appreciate the way the Life Group has done that. I also appreciate the books that Jim and Bill Mapes and Bob O'Keefe and others that have introduced different books that we can read. Those have been important. The Prodigal God was critical, a book on humility. Those have all helped me a lot through the Life Group. Forgiveness is another lesson I learned from Steve Gooch. Thank you, brother. You gave a message probably 5 years ago about that. And I always said the Our Father regularly. I loved it, still love it. But it does talk about forgiving others if we want to be forgiven. And Steve really helped me understand that, understand the scripture about 7 times 70. So, again, the church, again, has helped me kind of get to this point where my heart can see. And then last, just to be humble, I really feel like David and Sue are humble servants. They've set a very good example. Thank you so much for that. It's not about them having their church. It's really about imitating Jesus and, again, following the attitude of Jesus and being completely humble in that. And that has, again, helped my heart to, again, finally get past the intellectual part and to see. So this year we've talked about the yoke of Jesus being easy, and it is easy. I still have a lot further to carry it, but I do appreciate each one of you, the way you've helped me, the way you've helped my family, and again, appreciate this, and I'm grateful to God for all of you. Thank you.
Hello there. My name is Virgil Welch. My wife, Tiffany, and I, and two kids moved from Tallahassee, Florida, to Atlanta in August. And it was a big transition for my family. Tallahassee is a really small town. I mean, it's like 50 minutes or 20 minutes maybe across. And in Atlanta, the traffic here is crazy. It's insane. I mean, it's like you hear the horror stories in Florida, but you actually drive in it, it's been really really incredible. But it was a big transition for us because we were in Tallahassee I was there for over 20 years, and my wife was there for 14 years. And we built a lot of friendships there in Tallahassee. And it was hard to leave those friendships. But I'm so grateful to Greg and to Vicky being part of their family group. They really helped us feel welcome in a group. And we really thank them a lot for being a part of our family. I think about also in Tallahassee, there's like two churches that you can go to, really. I mean, that we would consider going to. Here is like five or six. So it was a big decision. But we really feel like this is a church for us. We felt the love. We felt the friendship. And I really thank David and Sue for just opening arms up to us and helping us to make a decision. And we look forward to building friendships with you and with you, David and Sue. We really appreciate that. Also, when we first moved here, we got here in August. And we were all excited about being here. But coming to find our furniture had gone somewhere else. And so for 2 weeks, we couldn't find our stuff. I mean, it was a nightmare. And so, but fortunately, we had friends here that we could stay with. So we stayed there for 2 weeks. And when the furniture got there, some of it was stolen. Some of it was damaged. It was a nightmare. But, you know, God blessed it. And we had everything was insured. So we got most of our stuff back. And we got more stuff, too. So that was a blessing. But we do feel very blessed to be here. And I want to share about two things today. I think the first things that I've appreciate this year is my wife, my marriage to my wife Tiffany. We've been married for 12 years. Like I said, we have four kids. We have two older kids and two young kids. But this past year, I think God has really helped me this grow in my communication. When I first got married, before I got married, I was in single ministry, and I was looking forward to getting married. I mean, it's an exciting time. I mean, it's you know, I'm married to a woman that loves God. I love God. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be like smooth sailing, you know. But it wasn't quite as smooth as I thought it would be. And we had some bumps. But God has really blessed me. He's blessed me in area of communication. Because I really see how important it is in marriage and to be able to communicate. And God's helped me to understand how to communicate with my wife, where she can accept and understand, and to be specific in communication. That was a big lesson for me this past year. And I think the other thing that I've learned is my parenting skills. You know the old saying, you become your parents as you get older? It's true, and my son can attest to that. My dad was very authoritative when I was growing up. It was his way or the highway. It was no negotiation. There was no middle ground. It's like he was the law. And I love my dad. I mean, he set clear boundaries for me. But I've learned this past year that it's not just that you want to have your kids to obey, but you want to foster their hearts to obedience. And so that's what I've really grown this past year. And I think hopefully my son will attest to that I'm getting better at that. And I love him a lot. And thank you. So I wanted to say I'm thankful to everyone here, and I'm thankful to God for this year.
Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare to take communion. Creator God, our Father in heaven, what better way to prepare our hearts for eating the bread and drinking the cup, which by faith are the body and blood of Jesus, than to take time to be grateful. To take time to express our thanks. As these men and women have shared before us, I know all of us, our minds were triggered to think about people and events, your teachings, so many things that we're grateful for. God, we thank you for all the things you make possible in our lives. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, for the great sacrifice of Jesus becoming one of us to give us the best shot at understanding you, who in many ways will always be mysterious, will always be beyond our comprehension. Yet in Jesus, we see your qualities lived out in a human life. And ultimately, that life led him to a cross. But God, we know that's not the end of the story. But from the cross, he went to a tomb, but then he came out, and we celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection as we eat the bread and drink the cup. And God, our hearts are filled with gratitude for Jesus and also for all the many things that he makes possible in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.